The following interview was recorded for CFRO The Pulse, Vancouver Co-op Radio's daily news show. The Pulse airs Monday to Friday at 7 a.m. on 100.5 FM and streaming live at coopradio.org. Richard Jock is the Chief Executive Officer for the First Nations Health Authority. He is also co-chair of the new task force set up by the BC government to implement the recommendations from Mary Ellen Turpel-Lafond's report, In Plain Sight, which looked at systemic racism in BC's healthcare system. We spoke about racism against Indigenous people in BC and how best to change it.
Hello, Richard Jock, and welcome to Co-op Radio.
Glad to be here. Thank you.
So there's this new task force or task team that's just been set up in the wake of the In Plain Sight report that Mary Ellen Turpel-Lafond released last year. Tell us what that task force is and what your mandate is.
Yes, and I would say that what I would like to talk about today is really FNHA, First Nation Health Authority, role within that. There is an overall communications protocol that is carried out by the task force itself. But I'm very pleased to talk to you today about what is our role within that. And I would say just in general that that the report itself was very significant in that it establishes very clearly that systemic racism for Indigenous people very clearly exists in the BC health system. And I think for that reason in itself is really very significant. You can see in other parts of the country, there are questions and there are comments about racism and whether it exists. And I think to very clearly state that this is here and to clearly document evidence for that, I think, is a really significant outcome of this report.
So is the task team's mandate to collect more evidence, or the evidence is there in the report and your job is to make sure the province implements changes?
I would say the task would be to implement and make sure there's direction coming from this report. And I would say that's also what I would say is the mandate for First Nations Health Authority. And we work with our partners, the First Nations Health Council and First Nations Health Directors Association, to really implement the key elements of this report that really relate specifically to First Nations people.
And maybe you could remind us what were some of those key points made in that report.
Well, some of the key points really relate to the effectiveness of the current complaint system. So part of our approach is to work with each of our system partners to develop specific approaches that will enable First Nations to have their complaints heard. But also as much as possible to reconcile those early in the process. So we are working with our partners to develop new and innovative approaches to do so.
One of the key phrases I noticed in perusing the report earlier was the recommendation to change to, quote, systems, behaviors, and beliefs. The impression I have is that I think when dealing with issues of racism, you know, people understand people who are racist, but I'm not really sure people understand the difference between systemic racism and, you know, personal behavior regarding racism. What are your thoughts on, you know, how to deal with systemic racism and maybe even what it is?
Well, part of what is the issue is that I would say in the case of First Nations people, for example, they have not been part of the overall health system, and that the system of care for First Nations has been complex. And essentially, there have been so many instances where First Nations people fall in the cracks jurisdictionally. So the federal government, for example, has the mandate for direct services on reserves, whereas customarily then the province maintained services off reserve in the acute care system and so on. So part of this systemic racism is a result of those overall circumstances. And those are the sorts of things that we are attempting to eradicate as we go forward. I would say there have been unique steps taken in BC to ensure that First Nations people are considered the same as all other residents and citizens. But I would say that we have work to do to make sure that that's fully realized. The other element that I would say in terms of systemic racism relates to access. And I would say there are two aspects of access. One is the relative geographic remoteness of First Nations. But the other part of that is that that it's very clear that First Nations people have less access to primary care services than other citizens. This then forces First Nations people to use the emergency room system at higher levels. And this is in fact a reflection of some of that systemic disparity, but also results in a number of the areas of problems and complaints, in that First Nations people also use the mental health and emergency room systems and tend to have problems with accessing services, but also then experiencing problems with the health system by nature of the complex care that's needed. The relative remoteness also is reflected in issues around discharge, which don't really reflect the reality of First Nations people, in that they can't be discharged in evening, late hours of the morning, like people in close proximity to acute care facilities. So I would say that's reflected in many ways. And I would say the In Plain report documented many thousands of those kind of complaints which have been generated as a result of that inquiry.
I understand the task force first met like 5 months ago in May. Can you tell us what that meeting was like and what has, you know, what's happened since then?
I would say that the first parts of the meeting were really focused on organization of the efforts. It has a 2-year mandate, but as I say, I'm not here to speak as a representative of that task force. I'd really encourage you to talk to Don Thomas, who's the provincial co-chair, if you want to really delve into the task force function itself.
Okay, well, then certainly we can, I'm happy to discuss more about the FNHA and what sort of role it's playing. And, you know, I understand that there really is no other such organization like it in Canada. What is the FNHA doing right now?
Thank you for that question. And I would say that part of our efforts are really focusing on, I would say, first of all, where we are with COVID, that we're in the midst of rolling out vaccines, making sure that First Nations have early and appropriate access to vaccines. But I would say that that this also has showed us that there are access questions and concerns, but also that it is also reflected in relative degrees of mistrust of the health system. So part of our role is to help intervene, provide First Nations-specific approaches so that these impacts can be minimized. Similarly, we're in the midst of an emergency on the opioid drug crisis. And as COVID has unrolled, it's actually shown that the rates of deaths from this have actually gone up since COVID has come upon us. And then the effects of racism are really, I would say, are very clearly becoming a determinant of health in that they affect health outcomes. So very much our efforts and efforts over the last 10 years have been to developing awareness of this. And I would say some of our most recent efforts in partnership with the Health Standards Organization have been to develop a standard for cultural safety and humility that can then be applied to health service organizations across BC. Part of what might be a desirable outcome of this is that it not only would be a standard for BC, but hopefully would become a standard for accreditation across the whole country. So this would be part of the systemic change interest that is clearly part of dealing with racism. Our other elements really relate to developing those specific regional approaches. And I would say we have some really excellent examples in the Fraser, where there's been really close work with Fraser Health Authority and our partnership table to develop effective ways of dealing with complaints and of making changes to the health system. So we really work closely with the chair of the Fraser Health Board, the CEO of Fraser Health Authority, with our table and our health council representatives to really have that thorough and systemic approach to dealing with racism. Similarly, some significant efforts on Vancouver Island in terms of becoming involved with reviews, making sure that FNHA represents the community voice and thus able to help have speedy resolution, but also resolution that takes into account First Nations community ways of addressing issues and moving forward in a good way.
I'd like to ask about the vaccination program currently underway regarding COVID-19. My limited experience has really just been in the downtown east side where our radio station's located. And I have heard a lot of people express a lot of distress around the vaccine. And so I'm wondering, how are you coping with it? What sort of programs are being implemented to try and encourage people specifically in Vancouver and the downtown east side to get the vaccinated? Because that's, clearly getting vaccinated is really the only sure way to try and get out of this pandemic that we're in.
Yes, and that's thank you for the question. And I would say that we have a number of mechanisms for doing that. One of them is that we work with the different health authorities to have Indigenous specific vaccine sites. And those sites feature very welcoming circumstances where our staff and staff of the health authorities work together to make sure that there are elders present, that they're greeted, and that they feel comfortable in being at this site itself. But I would say more broadly than that, we have our chief medical officer, Dr. Shannon McDonald, our assistant chief medical officer, Dr. Nell Wyman, who develop specific messaging for First Nations people. And part of that is intended to reach out to provide the most updated information on vaccine effectiveness, and also for culturally specific messaging. And you will, I think you will expect to see some additional and new media messaging coming out shortly on that. The other thing that we do very frequently is we have province-wide town halls. We feature our FNHA team, including Dr. McDonald. But at times, we also have Dr. Bonnie Henry attend for the purposes of really providing clear information on vaccine safety, and vaccine interests going forward. And at this point, part of what our evidence very clearly shows is that the vaccines are, as you know, highly effective in preventing COVID, and even where COVID is encountered, that it also is at least 35 times more likely to prevent hospitalization. So I would say our folks work hard to be that trusted voice. But as you say, there are still elements that we need to address and continue to work on constantly to address the issues of trust in the system. And I would say if you look at it, that's why FNHA really exists, is to be that trusted voice for First Nations people. So I would say that's very clearly what was envisioned when the organization was created, and what our key purpose is.
Looking ahead, after the 2-year mandate of this task force, after the pandemic hopefully finally runs its course, what sort of future do you see the FNHA playing in helping to still work towards inclusivity with the healthcare system?
Well, I would say there are a couple of elements. One is that we have part of our overall governance structure. We have venues for our leaders to sit at the table with the health authorities. So this never existed before the existence of FNHA, but it's a clear opportunity to advocate and to address system issues in those venues. So what we hope is, and what we would anticipate as being an outcome, is very specific ways of having complaints addressed very specifically for First Nations and Indigenous people in ways that will facilitate people making comments, complaints, and at some point we would hope compliments, but then having those moderated and addressed. I would say the other part of that is that we have clearer mechanisms for advocacy within the system, both within FNHA, but within the respective health authorities, so that those advocates can make sure that system access issues are minimized as much as possible. And then lastly, I would say that as we look forward to having a standard, that part of every organization's regular accreditation, that they would be measured according to their efforts and specific measures to address racism.
If there's anyone interested who wants to learn more about the FNHA, First Nations Health Authority, how can they go about getting that?
I would say we have a really well-developed website, have an app that's designed to have quick access to evolving information. And it can be accessed through the App Store. It's FNHA as an app. So I would say those are our best mechanisms. And I would say really appreciate the effort to talk about our organization with you. I think this is a good means to provide access to our information as well. And our, I would say, fnha.ca is our website. And on there, there are many ways to get very specific areas of information in our different areas of service.
The app you just mentioned, you mentioned the App Store. I don't suppose, do you know if it's available for Google Android phones as well? Or?
I would assume so. It would need to be, yes.
Best just to go look and check, I suppose. Anyway, well, I'm wondering if you have any final thoughts that you'd like to leave with our listeners.
I think that I would say that part of what I would observe is that there has been a real shift in people's thinking after the discovery of the graves in the Tecumlitz community. And that that I would say that this really has been, I would say, a thought-changing development. And I think that there's no doubt that that the general public can see the impact of residential schools and what this has done to First Nations people and other Indigenous people, such as the Métis, who attended residential schools. So I think that this set of developments, the interest that I see in the general public in terms of a real interest in reconciliation in real terms, I think these really support concrete efforts in addressing racism, and that that these profound developments really require us to think differently. So I really think that this is an important development, and it's an important time.
I couldn't agree more. And it does occur to me, too, as you were talking, I'm thinking I read an article about when Brian Sinclair died in a Winnipeg hospital, I think back in 2008, looking at that inquest into that death. And then just a week or two ago, the inquest in Quebec into Joyce Achaquin's death seemed to me a marked change, too. I don't know. Do you agree with that? Do you think that's a cause for hope as well?
I think it's a cause for hope. I think that the issue is that that I would say that there's still denial of systemic racism in Quebec. I would say that's a factor that we need to look at. And I would say that that BC is showing leadership in terms of acknowledging this systemic racism and pledging to take action.
It's been really great to have a chance to speak with you, Richard. Thank you very much for giving us the opportunity.
Okay, thanks. Bye.
That was Richard Jock, Chief Executive Officer for the First Nations Health Authority, which can be found at fnha.ca. CFRO The Pulse is brought to you by the Local Journalism Initiative, a program funded by Heritage Canada and administered through the Community Radio Fund of Canada.